Hey, open up a Bible. Did you bring one? You're at church, you probably should bring one. If you have one on your phone, that'll work too tonight. Open it up to Psalm chapter 27. Psalm chapter 27. I'm going to read I'm going to ask you to turn there, and I'm going to want you to hold your place. Or that's if you have a Bible. If you have a digital Bible, it doesn't matter. Or Psalm 40. So we're going to go to Psalm 27, and then we're going to jump to Psalm 40, just a few chapters up. All right. It's awesome to see everybody out here at Midweek Worship here at New Life Church. I'm Pastor Josh, and I love you guys, and it's awesome. I believe God has a great word for you. We're going to be challenged, allow the Spirit of God to stir us up, build our faith tonight in Jesus' name. If you're joining us online, we love you guys too. Thank you for tuning in. Get your Bible out and follow along as well. Turn your TV off. TV's junk anyway. All right, you can watch it in an hour. You'll be good. All right. God's word is so important, and God's word is filled with truth. Somebody say amen. All right? Not opinions. All right? Truth. God's word is filled with truth for our lives. And there's a lot of truth in this word that is so important. And if I could illustrate it, it's like this. All right? Now, I'm not volunteering this, but if you cut my finger off, I could still live, right? Yeah. I mean, I could still live. It would not be ideal, but I could still live. But if you start pulling lungs out of my body, that's no good, right? Josh needs his lungs. Josh needs his vital organs here, okay? And so there are some truth found in God's word that are absolutely necessary, that you cannot grow. You cannot please God. You cannot spiritually exceed and succeed in this life without this truth. And so I'm going to pull out a truth tonight that I believe a lot of you are aware of it, but a lot of people have forgotten about it. A lot of people have neglected this truth, and so we're going to pull this out, and maybe it'll be a reminder for some of you, and for some of you, a refresher. Some of you, it's going to be something new. Either way, I believe it's going to bless us all, and it's going to encourage us. All right, Psalm 27, we're going to start reading verse 13, and this is David, the psalmist, speaking, and he says, "I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, verse 14. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart. And then again, wait for the Lord. Now jump to Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 and 2, right in the beginning. This is what the Bible says. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry, and he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud, out of the mire, and he set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand." Now let's break this down, all right? God created man and woman. He created Adam and Eve all the way back in the beginning in the garden. And when Adam and Eve found themselves in the garden, they realized something, that everything that they had or everything that they would need, God had provided, right? They needed breath in order to live and exist. So guess what God did? Breathed his breath into them, then gave them oxygen so that they could live, right? They needed a body so they could function, so they could move, so they could live. Guess what God did? Gave them a body. That was very nice of him, wasn't it? Took care of them that way, all right? They needed food. So he surrounded them with trees and, you know, with fruit and with plants and vegetation so that they could eat that fruit. He provided that, all right? All they had to do was gather it, but God had provided that for them. If they needed water to drink, guess what God did for them? Gave them water. You see where I'm going with this, right? Y'all are real quiet tonight, so it's making me nervous. They realized everything that they needed from God, he supplied. He took care of it, all right? And the Bible declares one of his names is Jehovah Jireh. If you don't know what that means, it means God's our provider. Somebody say amen. He's our provider, all right? And so whatever they needed, God provided. And that's the way that humanity began, that whatever we needed, God would supply, God would provide. And so God is giving everything, you know, with man receiving. God gave man what? Received. God gave, man received. I want to get that in your head. God was the giver, man was the receiver, okay? Now, I want to walk from the beginning to now where we're at in the spiritual realm and kind of give you some spiritual principles through this to lay a foundation. So if you're a Christian, you are following Christ in here tonight, you're a believer in Jesus, you're watching online and you love Jesus, Jesus is your Lord, all right? I want you to understand something, that everything you have and everything you need, by definition, everything you need from God, you are to receive it by faith. God has provided for it, all right? It comes, everything you're going to ever need or everything you have has come through one way. It's by faith in God. There's no other way. He's designed it. He set it up this way, all right? He's going to make sure that everything we get, everything we need comes from Him. And it only comes from Him by faith. In other words, He's not after us to do things on our own as believers. He didn't design us to go after all this happiness and do everything we want to do apart from Him, without Him, aside from Him. He's saying, listen, I'm going to set this up. Everything you need, you're going to find in and through me. Everything you need, it's in me. You can find it in me, but you've got to receive it by faith. Think about it. Think about it. He doesn't ask us to do anything on His own. All right, we needed forgiveness of sins. Who forgave our sins? Jesus did. Did we forgive ourselves? No, we didn't forgive our own sins. We couldn't do that, all right? We needed what the Bible called an atonement for a sacrifice. Who sacrificed Himself for us? God did, all right? We didn't sacrifice anything to cover the sins of all mankind and humanity, all right? I didn't want to cut off my finger just now. I just used that as an awful illustration in the beginning. I'm not about to do anything like that. Just laying a, you know, proving a point here. All right, so God sent Jesus. He also sent Jesus. We needed a new heart. The Bible said that our old heart was brutal and nasty and ugly, and who gave us a brand new heart? Yeah, that's right, God did. God gave us that brand new heart, all right? So everything we need, everything we have has come from God. And God's like, listen, I've realized this, apart from God, I'm selfish. Okay? I'm selfish. So some of you are selfish too. You're like, no, I'm not that selfish. Yes, you are. You eat the last bowl of cereal in the box. You'll drink the last glass of milk. You know what I'm talking about? And you'll be like, you don't even care. Eat the last cookie. My kids are selfish. We're apart from God, we're selfish. And so we need a new heart. And God said, hey, I'll give you a new heart. But again, who gave it to us? God did. All right? So I'm just listing this here. Making a list here so we can lay a foundation. We needed strength from God. Who gives us our strength? The joy of the Lord is our strength, all right? You need wisdom to make good decisions. Who gives the wisdom? God does, all right? You need the love in your heart to love somebody who's been a jerk to you today. Who gives you that love? God does, all right? You need mercy in your heart. Some of you, you need forgiveness in your heart. You need mercy in your heart to forgive somebody who has abused you, who has mistreated you, who has been cruel to you. Who gives you that love? Who gives you that mercy? God. So where does everything, as a believer, where does everything we need come from? It comes from Him. All right? This is a principle found all throughout Scripture. Everything we need comes from one source. As a believer, it comes straight from God. That's who He is. It's what He does, all right? Listen, Jesus even said, you need a home for eternity? I'll go prepare a place for you. Jesus, who sacrificed Himself, said, listen, I'm going to go build you guys a mansion if you serve me and love me so you can live there in eternity. Now, some of us have bigger mansions than others. That's all right. That's all right. We still got one, and guess who gives it? Guess who's building it for us? Jesus is. So again, he's making sure we're aware of from the very beginning where God created man and woman, created Adam and Eve, and set them in this garden and said, hey, listen, everything you need, I'm going to make sure I take care of it for you. All right? You got a little bit of part to do. You've got to gather it. You've got to obey me. You've got to follow me. But yet again, here God is laying it out from the beginning. I want to be your provider. I want to be the one who takes care of your needs. All you need to do is come to me in faith and receive it. That's God's part, and that's our part, defined, all right? The essence of faith, the very core of faith, is that God will provide. Somebody say amen. Amen. Repeat that after me. God will provide. What you need, God will provide. I don't know why it is that we forget this. I don't know why it is. The only time we really get in trouble is when we forget about God and we start trying to take care of everything without Him. I see it happen all the time. Why in the world do we forget this? It doesn't make sense, all right? God did not design us, the human being, the human spirit, to do anything and accomplish anything apart from Him. He's saying, listen, I want to be involved. I want to be your provider. I want to be your source. I want to be everything you need. I'll take care of it. But you've got to learn to come to me and receive it by faith. That's your part. But as far as the provision, I'm God. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to handle it, okay? Philippians 2, 12 and 13. I'll put it on the screen real quick. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For in verse 13, for it is God's will. It is God who works in you to do his will and act and do all these things. It's God. Oh, wait, hold up. It's God who works on my desires. It's God who works on me to change my heart. It's God who works on me, you know, to remove, you know, addictions to painkillers and OxyContin and all these things that would damage me. It's God who helps me overcome these stresses and overcome these problems. And it's God, yeah, it's God who's working this in you. You couldn't do it yourself. We've all tried and we've all failed miserably. And this is God saying, listen, only God can do that. Only God can do that, all right? And most of us, here's what we're, God, again, God never intended for us to do anything apart from him. Jesus put it this way. Jesus said this in John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. He said, apart from me, how good are you? He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, Jesus didn't make that spit noise, but that's what he's implying. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He's trying to emphasize how important, how necessary God is in your life. How important and how necessary your relationship with Jesus and your developing faith is to succeed in this life. He's saying, listen, you better get this. This isn't like losing a finger or smashing a toe. This is like having a lung ripped out if you don't understand this. You can't survive without this. All right? It is that important. It's that big of a deal here, okay? I was thinking about this earlier today, all right? I wrote it this way. John 15, 5, without me you can do nothing. I thought, man, that is easy to quote, and that's harder to receive, and it's even harder to apply. It really is. I was thinking about that in my own life because for me, I'm a kind of a go-getter, all right? I'm a bit ambitious. And so the moment there is a problem, I want to immediately fix it. How many of you are like that? You see something wrong, you want to take care of it. You don't want to wait. You don't want to put it off. You want to take care of it. You want to handle it. That's the way I'm wired. And so what happens is Josh starts to get in the way of Josh. Josh starts to get in the way of God working in Josh too. And it causes problems, all right? And I think to myself, but I got to do something. And God spoke to me and said, but you are doing something. You're coming to me by faith so that if you'll receive by faith, then you'll really be able to do something. You'll really be able to live free and accomplish what I want you to accomplish, all right? I was thinking, so who in this room then would be the greatest Christian? Who here? I can't see who's watching online, so I don't know. So who would be the greatest Christian in here today, all right? In this section, who is the best Christian in this section? Y'all are afraid to raise your hands, aren't you? Because you don't know where I'm going. Maybe him, maybe her, maybe this section right here. Now, I'm totally messing with you guys. You know that, right? Okay. I will tell you this. The answer is we all are, but it's really whoever has received the most from God. All right? Which we've all received so much. All right? The grace, the love, the mercy, the faith, everything we've gotten from God. All right? So remember when John the Baptist, this is John chapter 3, John the Baptist, his disciples came to him, and for those of you who don't know, John the Baptist, he's related to Jesus. He was a cousin of a type, all right? It was a little bit mucky what kind of cousin, maybe first cousin, second cousin. That's boring. I won't go there. So anyway, they were related. And so before he's preaching Jesus, and John the Baptist, when he preached, man, he had big crowds. People came to hear John the Baptist preach. They were all fired up. And so then Jesus shows up, and John the Baptist speaks a prophecy over him, okay, and just says, man, look at this. This guy right here is the Savior of the world. It's Jesus. He's the one who we've been talking about. He's the one I've been preaching on. And then he baptizes him, and Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit and anointed by God. God the Father speaks out, I'm pleased, you know. Dad pleased over his son. Big moment there. And so after a while, John's followers come back to him and they're like, hey, have you noticed something? He's like, what? Well, before Jesus showed up, and he's the guy you were preaching on, we get all that, but our crowds were a bit bigger. Now all of a sudden, our crowds aren't as big as his. Now all of a sudden, those people who were coming to our services are going to his services. Is that cool? And John didn't always have the best, but he had the greatest reply to them in John chapter 3. All right, this is like a total home run. He knocked this one right out of the park, okay? He said this. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. And then he said this to put their hearts at rest and kind of put them at peace. He said in verse 27 of chapter 3, a man can receive nothing unless it's given to him from heaven. A man can receive what? Nothing unless it is given to him from heaven. So here we go. So John's like, what do you want me to do? You want me to be upset? You want me aggravated? You want me, you know, you want me to get on Facebook and rant? You want me to send some mean tweets because I, of what's going on here? And he says, a man can receive nothing. In other words, you can't do anything unless God has given it to you, which means everything that Jesus is doing, God gave him. So essentially, if I'm mad at Jesus for him having big crowds, I'm actually not mad at Jesus. Who am I mad at? God. I'm not jealous of Jesus because he's got the big crowds. Who am I jealous of? God. Who am I aggravated at? God. Because a man can't do a thing, not even a spiritually significant thing, unless God has given it to him for him to accomplish. And he's saying, what do you want me to do? Be mad at God? I'm not going to do that. I have enough spiritual sense to realize that you can't do anything unless it comes from heaven, unless God has placed it in your heart, unless God has given it to you, all right? And so he's saying, listen, that's a principle that a lot of us need to learn right away. You know, when you see people up here singing and doing something amazing for God, don't resent them because you don't have that gift. Because by you resenting them for not having that gift, who are you really resenting? God. When somebody else is blessed and being used by God and you're a little bit jealous, you're a little bit angry and you're thinking, well, I wish I had and I wish they had this and I... Who are you really pointing the finger to? God. God raises up, God lowers down. It is God who elevates, it is God who drops. And so you get upset at God. You point the finger at God all you want to. How much do you think that's going to accomplish? I've already made a spit noise once, so I'm not going to do it again. But again, this is what John the Baptist was talking about. He said, God, at his core, is a giver. He's a giving God. That's who he is. That's his character. That's how he lives. That's how he's defined, by his giving. We have to be a good receiver. If you don't have something in your life that God wants you to have, it's not God's fault that you don't have it. He's a great giver. We're just time after time lousy receivers. Oh, I'm going to get into this. You're going to like this. I think you're really going to like this tonight. All right. So I'm going to give you the secret ninja ingredient to faith tonight, all right? And it is secret ninja ingredient, all right? And I want you to write it like that, secret ninja ingredient, Pastor Josh said, okay? We have to learn, when it comes to faith, we have to learn how to wait. This is what David said in both Psalm 27 and Psalm 40. We have to learn how to wait in faith. And this is so great, and I'm going to get into this. This is really where I wanted to be, but I had to lay a foundation, okay? The hardest part of receiving from God isn't that initial step where we get excited and we reach out to believe from God. The hardest part is after we've asked God, waiting on God to come through. That's the test. That's the struggle. That's the part where you lose or you win. That's the part where you receive the victory and the breakthrough, or you are defeated and miserable. It's all in the waiting. All in the waiting. And it is such an important truth, okay? Let me help you out. Not a single person in here, not a single person watching online or listening to this message, there's not going to be a blessing, no encouragement. You're not going to receive anything, God, unless it comes by one way, one method, by faith. Has to come through faith in God. You don't get it any other way. This is how he set it up. This is how he designed it. Whatever you get from God, you've got to trust God. You've got to trust his word. You've got to know this word. You've got to open your heart and you've got to believe that God is, that what he spoke to you is his promise for you, and that he wants you to have it, and that he's promised it, so I want to receive it. You've got to step out and believe by faith, all right? That's how this works. But here's what happens, okay? Here's what happens. After you have asked God and you've stepped out by faith, the hard part really kicks in. It really gets difficult. And this is where so many people struggle, all right? A lot of people, you know, they just say, I have faith, but when it doesn't happen right away, are you willing to wait the way David describes it here in Psalm 27 and Psalm 40? All right, so here's what I've seen take place typically after you've asked God and you're now in that place of waiting, Okay, here's what I've seen happen. Two negative things that have taken place, all right? Number one is this. People who ask God and don't immediately receive, they get discouraged and then they just quit. How many of you have seen that happen? Some of you, you know, we've all been there. You get discouraged and you just quit. I gave, I trusted, I prayed, nothing happened. All right, well, God, he just doesn't care. And so if God doesn't care, then forget the whole thing. I'm going to walk away. I'm going to do what I want to do and never mind all this mess, all right? Again, that's something terrible, but it's something that I've seen. The second thing I've seen that's just as bad and in some ways even worse is I don't see God working in this situation. I've prayed, I've studied, I've spoke, I've done all these things, and I still don't see an answer. And so now I'm starting to get tired of waiting. I'm tired. I don't see him coming through. I don't see the healing. I don't see the supply. I don't hear the answers. All these things are taking place. So now I've decided this. I'm going to figure things out on my own. Everybody go, oh, yeah. Because guess what? The moment now you have ignored God, you've decided to stop waiting on God, who is at work, by the way. Now you're going to start doing things on your own, and now you're in, you know, if a golfer term is you're in the deep rough, okay? You're in a rough patch. You're in a mess here. It's going to be thick, and it's going to be tough, and it's going to be a struggle, all right? How many of you and how many of us here, we have messed up so terrible, made dumb decisions, bad decisions, you know, stepped out because we had a faith initially, but we didn't have the faith to wait patiently on God. And because we didn't have the faith to wait patiently on God, we pursued our own agenda, our own ambition, our own answers, and in the process just blew it. How many times are we going to have to go through this before we learn to wait by faith? How many times do we have to mess up, make poor decisions, and blow it until we figure this out? And this is what John the Baptist was getting at. This is what Jesus was teaching in John. This is what David was, you know, going over in chapter 27, chapter 40. He's saying, listen, you guys need to figure this out here. This is important here. It's echoed all throughout Scripture. Waiting on the Lord, all right? Waiting on the Lord. So in Psalm 27, David is actually here, to give a little context, he's actually talking to himself. Now, we get to read in on his thoughts here because he made it public. So he's talking to himself, and he says a couple things here. He says right in the beginning, he says, I've become convinced. In other words, I am convinced that I am going to see the good. I'm going to see good things happen in my lifetime, in the land of the living. He said, I'm convinced of this, all right? I'm going to see the goodness of God take place. David has been a guy who has seen a lot of bad things take place. He witnessed a lot of terrible tragedies in his own life, in his own family, and he is talking to himself, preaching to himself, listen, I'm not going to die before I see this good promise, this good God kick into my life. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I am trusting God's plan. So you know what, David? Wait. Wait patiently, wait in faith, wait in hope, but wait, because as long as you're alive, there's a great opportunity for God to come through. So don't you dare quit, don't you dare give up. For most of us, the reason why we've not received from God isn't because God, for some reason, decided to stop helping, it's because we quit. We gave up, we bailed, we walked away, or we started trying to do it ourselves. So David's preaching to himself, and he's saying, listen, I gotta wait on God here. He gave me his promise. It's going to happen. I'm convinced of this. I'm going to see this breakthrough come in the land of the living in my lifetime, all right? And if you're like me, you don't like waiting. I'm going to get into this a whole lot more Sunday morning, but if you're like me, you don't like waiting. How many of you love to wait? Let me see. How many of you hate waiting? Thank you for an honest church tonight. I don't need to give an altar call for liars, all right? Nobody likes to wait. How many of you have been this? All right, some of you, I've seen some of you do this. You know, McDonald's has two drive-through lines now because we love ourselves some Mickey D's. Good Lord, we love some chicken nuggets. And so I have seen some of you pull up in a drive-through line, even though somebody else was already ordering, and you try to skip ahead of that dude, even though you know he ordered before you. And when you get up to the window, they're like, well, did you order the Big Mac? And you're like, nope, that's the guy behind me. And you're proud of it. You couldn't wait three more minutes. How many of you have been in the grocery store shopping and you know you wanted to go through the 20 items or less line and you're like counting and you're like, man, I'm up to 18, 19, and you're thinking, I need three more things. And you're like, nah, I'm good. Just so you can make sure you go through the line quicker. I've done that. I've been standing there thinking, nah, I'll get it somewhere else, somewhere later, just because I didn't want to wait five more minutes. Or if you're at Walmart, you didn't want to walk 700 meters, just, you know, another 3 miles across Walmart to grab a stick of deodorant because you forgot to get it. We've all been there. Nobody likes to wait. Nobody likes waiting on anything, all right? And this is why it's such a challenge. This is why it's such a challenge. It requires us to do something we don't instinctively and naturally want to or feel like doing. Waiting on God. Waiting on the promise. Waiting on the breakthrough. Waiting on the answers here, okay? And so this takes place, and if you don't receive, you know, how, Pastor Josh, then, can I be a better receiver, all right? How can we actually receive what God wants to give, all right? I'm going to give you three quick points. I'm not going to preach long tonight because this is something that I wanted to help you with, all right? But I'm going to give you three quick points, all right? If you don't receive, you know, how are we going to get what God wants for us? Three important things about waiting in faith. Number one is this. Write this down. You have to believe, first of all, that God is your source. That means you can't step out by faith and at the same time say, yeah, but if God doesn't do this, then maybe this will happen. Maybe I've got a plan B on the side here. Maybe I can access this. Maybe I can get this third job, fourth job. Maybe I can. No, if you're going to step out by faith, you trust that God is your source. Say that after me. Say, God is my source. God's my source. He's my source. And he has got to stay your number one source, all right? You can't have this plan B. God's got to supply the strength that I need. I'm not going to get it any other way. God's got to provide the answers that I need. I'm not going to get them any other way. God's got to give me the wisdom. God's got to give me this peace. God's got to, whatever it is you need, God's your source. You go to him as your source. And you lean on him. You trust on him. You depend on him. God as your source, all right? Listen. You've got to tell yourself that, and then you also have to tell God that. David did both of those things in both chapters 27 and chapters 40. He told himself that, and he told God that. He said, Dave, guess what? God, your source. God, your source, David. Trust God. And then he said, God, you're my source. I trust you. So you and I need to do that same thing. We've got to remind ourselves every day that who is our source? God is. And then we've got to let God know, God, you're my source. We've got to, and making that an intentional act of our faith every single day. If we're going to improve our receiving from God and our waiting on God, we've got to go to God as our source, all right? Lord, you're the only one who can help me. So I wrote this down because it made sense. You know, sometimes it's actually harder to wait when the problem is smaller than when the problem is bigger. It is. It's actually harder to wait when the problem is smaller than when the problem is bigger. Reason why is because when the problem is bigger, some of you already know this. When you're dealing with something that you absolutely can't handle, you absolutely can't figure out, it's so big that you know there's no possible way you could do this on your own. You have nowhere to turn but God. You've got no other thing, you've got no other options but to wait on God to come through because there's nothing else that you can do about it. It's out of your hands, it's bigger than you. But see, sometimes when the problem is smaller, that's when it gets tougher of waiting. Because when it's smaller, you think to yourself, I can take care of this. I don't need God here. And so here's the problem with that. Whenever you start taking matters into your own hands frequently, habitually, you start depending on yourself more than you start trusting God. You start looking to yourself to meet needs. You start looking, well, I can do this. I can handle this. I can. And next thing you know, you're not praying about big decisions. You're not seeking God and you're not asking the Holy Spirit to fill you up so you can walk by faith and not by sight, so you can live by grace and mercy and all these things that we preach about. All of a sudden, you're doing things on your own until things get bad. And then you wake up. And this is important. This is why it's important, all right? And a lot of us are thinking, but Pastor Josh, I'm a connected person. I know people. I got sources. I've got connections. I've got resources. I'm a college-educated person. I can, you know, I've got some experience and I've been through this and I've... Yeah, that's great. That's great. But my little brain is no match for God's infinite wisdom. And I'm not a dumb person either. I'm a smart guy. But let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is a genius. And the more you lean on God and the more you trust God, the better off you will be. God is my source. All right, that's number one. Number two is this. You have to believe that God wants to help you. You've got to believe that He actually wants to help you. Not only is He my source, but He wants to help me, okay? You can't wait patiently or wait in faith if you're still not convinced that God even wants to help you to begin with. Until you realize that in your heart, God wants me to be blessed. God wants me to have the answers. God wants me to grow. God wants me to overcome. God wants me delivered. God wants me free. I've always had a problem with this, with the believers who will say, you know, I know that Jesus died on the cross for me and I know He loves me and all, but He's not helping me right now. So let me get this straight. You believe that God was willing to send His Son to die a horrible death on the cross for your sins, for you, and now all of a sudden He's decided, nah, not worth it. Don't feel like helping you today. Are you kidding me? God wants to help you. God wants you blessed. He wants you prosperous. He wants you healthy. He wants you free from addiction. He wants you free from your past. God wants you living by faith right here and right now. That's who He is. That's what He wants for you. You've got to be convinced of that and believe it in your heart before you'll ever really receive from God. That God wants, not only does He want to be your source, not only is He your source, but He wants to help you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to meet your needs, all right? You know, the Bible says that the devil is a liar. That is the only language he speaks, is liar, okay? It's not like he speaks English and Spanish and out Wayne. I'm just messing with you Wayne people, all right? Hillbilly. He only speaks liar. It's like some politicians, what do they say? How do you know a politician's lying? If his mouth's moving, that kind of thing. Not all of them. Some of them are good. Some of them. Lord, thank you. But you know, the enemy is constantly lying and he's constantly speaking lies into your thoughts, into your mind, into your life to try to keep you from believing one moment that God wants to help you, that God's promises are for you, that God wants you blessed, all right? And so a lot of you have heard things like this from the enemy. God's forgotten you. He's forgotten about you. He's remembering everybody else, but not you. He's forgot all about you. You're not even on His blip. He's not even considering you right now, all right? And God's, some of you have heard this lie before. God's not going to come through. Not this time. It's not going to happen. Some of you have struggled with those thoughts. It's not going to happen for me, all right? You know, you have got to know this in your heart that God is your answer. And not only is He your answer, He wants to give you that answer. He wants you blessed. He wants you to get the help that you need. He wants to take care of you. That's who He is, all right? You know, I'm a dad, and it's always, you know, Jesus taught about this. But as a dad, do you think for one second my two kids, that if they were ever in need, I'd ever let my son Jaden or my daughter Ava go through a struggle or a problem and not do everything I possibly could do in this life to help them? I would fight, I'd throw blows, I would, whatever it is I need to do for them, I'm going to do for them. They're my kids, all right? They're my children. I love them more than anything in this world, all right? There's only two people in this entire world who have the right to call me a special name, Dad, Jaden and Ava. You think for one second I'm going to let somebody mess with them or I'm going to let them go through something and not do everything I can to help them? Our Heavenly Father is up in heaven looking at His children saying, I will do anything and everything I can to help you. You better believe that. With everything in you, you believe that God wants you helped. He wants you healed. He wants you whole. He wants you full. He wants you living this life as best fulfilling as possible. That's who He is. That's what He wants for you. He's a good God. He's a great Heavenly Father, all right? Third thing is this. So first, what was the first one? We have to believe that God is our source. What was the second one? He wants to help you. Third one is this. Write this down. You've got to learn to wait patiently. I have to wait patiently. All right? I have to wait patiently. Pastor Josh, what do I do while I'm waiting? You know, how long is this going to be? Is there like a timer? Is this like an alarm? I'm going to know. And I'm like, well, Here's what I know, okay? While you're waiting, you don't complain. While you're waiting, you don't fuss. While you're waiting, you don't allow your heart to get bitter, okay? While you're waiting, try this. Praise. Praise. Give God praise. Praise Him. Remind Him that He's your provider. Remind Him that He's your helper. Remind Him that He's your source. Praise Him as your provider, as your source. Praise. Get back into speaking your faith, trusting God. The most powerful thing you can do when you pray is to find a word in this Bible that applies to your situation and pray that word out, word for word, line by line. Whenever I'm really serious about praying for specific needs, I find a scripture in God's word and I will pray that scripture word for word. I will actually speak God's word in a prayer back to God. Every single time it's effective and it's powerful, all right, while we're waiting. So David said this in context. He said, so I waited patiently for the Lord. And then he went on. Remember this? He said, he brought me out of the slime, out of the muck, out of the mire. But when did he do that? Did he do that immediately? No. He said, after a while. He didn't do it immediately. In other words, you're going to have to praise before. A lot of times we want to praise after. After I get the breakthrough, after I get the answer, then I'll give God praise. Sure you will. But in the process of waiting, in the time you're in right now, how about giving God some praise in this moment? Don't wait till it happens. Praise Him now. Don't wait for the breakthrough. Praise Him now. Lift His name up now. Magnify Him now. Build your faith right now. You won't, listen, strong faith is developed in the waiting. That's when the faith is developed. Anybody can pray and then get an immediate answer and you know, act like they're some spiritual giant. And anybody can pray, not get an answer, and then just quit. But it takes a man and a woman who have a heart after God, who are truly living by faith, that when they pray and they still don't have an answer, they wait patiently on God. They allow their faith to strengthen, to grow. And it's during those times of waiting where you will experience, if you will stay in faith and wait patiently and praise and worship and honor God, even though it hasn't happened, you're praising Him as it has, as if it already has. It's in those moments where you'll have some of your greatest spiritual growth you'll have experienced in your entire life. It's in that time of waiting. It's in that time of waiting. I always kind of smile whenever somebody talks to me and they say, Pastor Josh, how can I get my faith to grow? And what they want to hear is, well, just read some Bible verses. Read some scripture. Listen to a bunch of messages online. Yeah, that'll work. No. Get in a position for your faith to grow. All right? And that position is you start believing God and trusting God. And then you get in a place where you have to wait, which means you have to stay in this word. You have to trust God. You have to open your heart. You've got to allow God's voice to speak to you. You've got to get the peace of God in your heart. You've got to let the joy of the Lord be your strength. There's going to be moments where you feel weak, but just because you feel weak doesn't mean you are weak. You just feel weak. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And you've got to stand. And you've got to trust. And you've got to believe. And it's in that waiting where your faith grows. And the greatest thing happens when you wait on God patiently. Just like David said, I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And I'm going to wait patiently. When you wait on God in faith, when that breakthrough comes, not only did you receive what you were believing for, what you were asking for, what you had prayed for, but now your faith has grown. And so the next time you are faced with a situation or a struggle, or there's somebody in your life who's facing something, guess what you're going to be able to be to them? A strength, a voice. You're going to be strong. You're going to be help. You're going to be a piece of God's arm stretched out, reaching and making a difference in somebody's life. That's how God has set this up. For some reason, we've forgotten. Some reason, some of us have let it go. Some reason, we've, you know, tried to take matters back into our own hands, and we've tried to do it on our own, and we have beat ourselves up. And I just feel the Holy Spirit saying, how long and how much more exhausted and beat up will you be before you just learn to receive? Does that mean I got nothing to do? You absolutely have to do. It's your part to wait. You have no other choice but to wait or quit. You got to wait. You've got to stand. You've got to trust. You've got to believe. God won't do that for you, but God is your source. God wants to help you. Your part is to wait patiently.